Hey there. Because you're listening to this podcast, we at Blue Wire want you to know this. One, we freaking love you. And two, we want to learn more about you. Help us make more content you'll love by filling out a survey you can find in the description of this podcast. You'll help us out a ton, and you'll have a chance to win a Blue Wire t-shirt, hoodie, or a pair of AirPods. We appreciate you, hope you're staying safe, and want you to enjoy this podcast. Money
Welcome everybody to Sopranos Podcast. As always, my name is Joe Spellman, and this is
David Feudernick.
And this is
Paul Gullius.
And we are talking about season two, episode ten.
I never get the number right.
Yep. Bust out. I got bust the title.
Bust out.
You always get the title.
Yeah.
Another great ep. Back to back. Like great ep.
It's all great eps going forward, right? I mean, Well, no, there's some clunkers.
Yeah. I feel like this. Yeah. Sometimes I hear episode names and I'm like, what happened in that again? But you hear bust out, you're like, oh, yep.
The story gets closed. I remember that one.
Remember the story gets closed.
We're actually recording on the anniversary of Jimmy Gandolfini's death.
That's right. Rest in power.
R.I.P.
Do you guys remember where you were when you heard the news?
I do. I was in Italy. Which was super weird because that's where he died. And then you could kind of hear with our friend and one of my good Italian friends, Lauren Smitelli,
a friend of ours,
Long Island Italian. We were like having lunch. And you could hear, like, over here, like, people speaking in Italian, but you could hear, like, like, you could just hear, like everybody, like, was talking about it.
Did you, just from hearing that, were you like, he fucking died? I bet he died.
No, because we had heard, because we were on our phones, like American tourists. We were,
of course,
on social media.
What about you, Spells? You remember?
Oh, I was going to an audition for... I believe was there a new Poltergeist movie? There was, right?
Could not tell.
Yeah, I think it was that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Did that fuck with you for your audition?
It kind of did because the casting directors mentioned it. They were like, did you hear James Gandolfini died? And I was like, yeah, I think I heard it on the radio as I was driving to the audition.
And they were like, okay. So just to set the scene now. So the poltergeist is ripping your intestines out.
I think it was something like that. They were just really like talking about it for a little bit. Yep. I'm looking it up in my email. It was Poltergeist.
I missed that one.
Wednesday, June 19th, 2013.
Shall we get into it? Can you guys hear the fucking bomber airplane outside my window?
A little bit, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. All right. So Bust Out, originally aired March 19th, 2000. Mm. I'll give a little rundown. This is that episode where Tony and the boys continue to exploit Davey Scutino and his business. Ramsey Outdoor. Tony freaks out when he learns an eyewitness ID'd him at the scene of the Bevilacqua murder, which happened at the end of the last episode. And Carmela wallpapers her house. kicking off the episode with some unfamiliar characters.
Yeah, another classic Herb fucking white citizen, like, little Herb guy.
Yeah.
Who, the witness you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a crack.
Oh, yeah. So the witness came forward. So what was he doing? He was bird watching.
No, was it?
He was in the park for some reason, or he was like, was it?
Yeah,
like,
something like that. Yeah,
crazy like that.
At night?
Well, it was like early morning, I think.
Right.
Could have been.
I thought something happened with his car. I forgot that part. the very beginning.
Then he's being interviewed by the two most cartoonish looking fucking cops ever.
The cheesiest New York, like East Coast cops.
They do that though. They've done that before, like especially with the pizza. They just they just make it very like
the Telltale Mozzarella.
Yeah, they make the cops seem just very like get smart or like like a parody of some sort. Like they're making fun of them. I mean, I like it.
It's an interesting choice by David Chase because I think because they want to sort of be like because those smart, two those look like two stock cop characters from any network law procedural show that you've ever seen. And I think maybe the thought behind it is like, look how different it's like night and day between our show and the rest of the crap that's on television.
Yeah, well, you see the old like detective show up to the house later on with Agent Harris, and you see like the disparity between the two of them. Like one is like a fucking Dick Tracy character, and one is just like a fucking regular human being.
Right.
I think it's so funny though. I mean, it's a good choice. I don't know. Like, I guess I don't really know like the reason behind it, but. Yeah, to contrast it to the show, I guess it's like a meta choice. I mean, I guess so.
I don't know.
It's just funny. It also just makes you laugh. I guess.
We'll try to suss out the real reason by the time we get through all the episodes. But
well, once we interview David Chase at the end,
when we get David Chase on for our very last episode. Cool question
I
for you guys.
I think you make the cops like over the top.
That's our one and only question.
End of interview. Yeah.
I don't know if you know any real life cops, but question for you guys. So this guy, this flag saluting motherfucker, as Paulie calls him, is trying to do the right thing. Would you guys do the same if you lived in Jersey and you heard what you thought were gunshots and saw some suspicious activity?
I mean, probably.
Probably,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
You would go to the cops?
Yeah, but I'd be like cool. I'd be like really like cool and tough about it, not like this guy. I'd be like,
I think he was trying to act tough.
I think he is trying to act tough.
Yeah, he's trying to, but you know, I'm the real thing. So,
all right.
Yeah, would I do that? Yeah, probably.
I mean, that's the thing. The people, like a lot of these like Herb fucking people, like characters, are doing stuff that most of us would do. They like, but in the world of Sopranos, like you have to make them look bad to like look lame.
So you're still rooting for Tony,
right? So you're like, I hope Tony gets off because fuck this little penis,
right? Yeah, right. Sure. Right.
But more on that guy later. From that we go into Tony. Like Tony's at some sort of like amusement park. There's like a merry-go-round
mall because he says he went to Sharper Image.
Yeah.
To get a
oh I missed that.
Yeah, he says I went.
He's at a mall.
I went to Sharper Image. Got a scale.
Yeah. Well, good. He's monitoring his weight.
There was some.
It's got a thing called Bluetooth. What the fuck is
was
that?
Was it in Trumbull? There was some mall in Connecticut that had a carousel in it.
Maybe I don't think I've been to it. I don't think it was Trumbull.
It was in that area.
Like the Danbury Fair.
Well, maybe it was Danbury. Maybe it was Danbury.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But there's got to be like carousels and malls. It's not weird.
I was thrown off. I was like, why is this?
Could have been the Staten Island Mall or something.
Did you notice when that little kid is calling for his mom and Tony and Tony has like the flash of Bevilacqua.
His final words.
Do you notice when the mom comes to get him, like he's like reminds me of my my little one, like when he was that age, like acting like a little cadet.
A little space cadet.
I was like, oh shit, little foreshadowing.
Oh shit. Maybe. Yeah, a little bit. Do you guys like when they do those like little flashes to show like what a character is remembering or thinking about?
I mean, that was fun. They can be heavy handed sometimes, but like, I mean,
right. Yeah. It comes across to me like the show writers are really holding the hand of the audience like when they use that.
True.
But sometimes I guess, you know, in a serialized TV show, especially when people weren't binge watching, you had to wait a week between episodes. Like sometimes you got to nudge them a little bit.
For sure.
Well, but, and also I guess it just makes sense like what he's thinking with AJ for the rest of the episode. I mean,
And that sort of kicks off like the sort of subtle storyline of Tony, like, sort of feeling guilty about Bevel Aqua, like, about what he did. I don't know if it's authentic, like, guilt that he's feeling or what, but, like, you know, there's a scene later on with, like, he's in bed with Carmella, and he's like, oh, I want to hang out with AJ, you know, and she's like, why is this sudden burst of fatherhood, you know, like, right, that kind of right. shit. And he's like, this, you know, we can't have him end up like Chris or this other kid who just, they just found shot, kid was 23 or something. And he sounds like legitimately sad. Like, what do you guys think? Is he really like sad that he feels like he was forced to deal with a young man this way? Or is he trying to convince himself he is?
I think he's worried. I think he's worried like that, like, you know, Christopher, like you can loop Christopher in with like Sean and
Matt
Lila Brancato. Like, you know, as like just like a couple of, you know, 20 something punks
right.
who don't right. know their, you know,
yeah,
don't know shit. So like I think he's concerned. You know, AJ could be going down that road, which he kind of almost does, really.
Yeah. So it's not about Bevel Aqua, it's more about his fear that AJ is gonna end up being Bevel Aqua.
And he might have something to do with that. Right. Like his neglect might have something to do with that.
Meadow is about to leave the house too. So I think it's like it's a combination of all that, you know.
And then finally we get to Davey Scatino and his store. We haven't seen him for a few episodes. This sad sack of shit.
Imagine like your senior year of high school and this is what your dad is like up to.
Oh my god. Did ruin
imagine?
You. Oh.
Dude.
Yeah.
One of the best like running things of the episode is just how much you see that fucking the Ramblosa
yeah, is so good.
Sparkling water. Yeah. Like every character has it.
Yeah.
Also, and Carm has the sandwiches in the cooler, in the fucking red cooler.
The red coolers. Yeah. And I think those red coolers pop up like later in the series a lot too. Like, yeah, like they're still trying to fucking get rid of people. These things.
Yeah. Have you ever had that Ramblosa?
No.
Have you?
I know. I just was like, oh, that looks good. I've just never had it, and I've never really seen
it. I get such a deal.
Oh, I love it. So yeah, so Artie,
he still probably screwed Artie up.
Right.
Yeah,
no, of course.
$40 a bottle. but I love that because he serves it to Christine Scatino's wife.
Right.
So in a roundabout way, he's like, I got such a deal on these Ramblosa waters. And he's like fucking her and her family's like livelihood.
Yeah, because your husband fucked you, completely fucked your family. And anyway, drink up.
She's still hanging out with Carmella, even though they like the car situation happened with her son.
Right.
Yeah.
would that happen?
What was that? Was that like? I mean.
Sure, if you are worried about your like standing within the community and you know like this is such a powerful person,
it's true. It could have been a political move on her part, like, oh, maybe I get in with Carmella,
but of course she shits on her behind her back to her brother.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh yeah, Vic Musto.
Yeah,
the wallpaper.
What a fox. What a fox.
He's not in any other episodes, is he?
No.
He returns in a couple episodes one scene when Carmella like runs into him at like the paint store.
That's
or something.
Right. That's
oh, true. Right.
And
he's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
It's great.
He would have been a great like reoccurring character.
Spinoff. The Scatinos. Yeah.
The Mustos.
Netflix. Hey, Netflix, are you hearing?
The guy who was his assistant, though, I knew in New York. Like,
That guy.
He was awesome. He was always at auditions and shit in New York. That guy.
He books
great.
A lot.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I recognized that
He's
guy.
Great.
He books a lot of commercials.
He
did the Discount Double Check commercial, yes. Right? Where he screams at internet.
Yeah. But I did. I used to do like play ratings in Brooklyn, like with this theater company, and he did a couple of them too. He's super nice.
Hmm.
But
yeah.
So he's not like an immigrant with broken English in real life.
No, that was definitely a put on, which I was like, yeah, they probably wouldn't ask him to do that now.
Yeah, right.
Miss Camilla.
You go do other job. Great, we're canceled now.
Yeah.
So then the other thing going on in this episode is Pussy. We see Pussy and Skip. So Puss is just coming off like, obviously he was part of the Bevel Aqua hit.
Did you fuck me?
I love Skip in this scene.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
And he kind of like demands. Puss is like, he's like, I want Tony's voice on tape saying I killed Matthew Bevel Aqua. And then Puss is sort of like, well, let's say I did go. Don't you think that would just make Tony like tighter with me and like
you,
this and that? What do you think Pussy's strategy is right here?
You'll kill Prick Puss. I'll give you that.
I mean, he probably wants Skip to be like, all right, it's okay that you killed him. All right, you know what? Right. You're right. You know what? I absolve you from killing this kid.
Right.
Because of all this great information you've been giving us.
Oh, yeah.
All the people who are running Warbistic, like we know.
Oh yeah, the Warbistic list. Yeah,
right. So in a way, like Puss is definitely playing Skip. Like he's feeding him like information that's not sort of that's definitely protecting the people he cares most about. But yeah, when Skip was like, oh, they ID'd Tony Soprano, he had to like shit his pants in that car because he would never see the light of day again.
Right.
But yeah. That's a great little sub story.
I want to say, I guess I'll just say it now, but I was looking at my notes and think Richie says coolers are like scissors. Everybody needs one, but they don't know like
how much they cost.
How to use one. I was like, what?
What? Scissors?
Are you sure that's what he said?
No, I thought he says. Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. No, they have no idea like how much they cost.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
You put this on the street with a Nigerian. You charge someone $3.5? Who's going to say no? $2-$3? Yeah. Who's going to say no?
I mean, how much does a cooler cost?
I don't know, but I was thinking about the overhead. I was like, how much money are you making off of these? Like, you'd have to sell thousands of them.
How much do you have to sell?
Right.
It's all profit, yes.
It's sure. All they're paying credit, zero. Right? Like, yeah, they're paying zero.
Yeah, but still. Like, you got to lug around, like, trucks of just coolers and try to, like, just unload them on the streets. Like, right. how many coolers can a Nigerian carry on the street at a time?
But you can see why Tony is, like, yeah, all right, these fucking coolers and waters and whatever, but give me these fucking airline tickets because, like, Tony's like, I need something that's going to make it worth my while, like, not this fucking nickel and dime crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Then Davey sort of almost meets his end by his own hand on his pool table.
Yeah.
In, like, his little man cave down there.
Right.
And what's he say? He's like, I'm fixing the light. It's the glare on the one ball. When I rack is
What an excuse.
Also, she just buys it.
I love how he's just immediately screaming at
her. Yeah.
Oh, that's the fucking lie.
Yeah, she's like, okay. It's obvious.
Real stable.
Obvious something weird is happening here.
And then speaking of guns to heads, we see Richie and Janice having sex.
Hottest scene in the whole show.
Yeah. No doubt.
Oh, baby.
We've
all been there.
Yeah, we've all.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Incorporate into sex.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But she's like, it should be you. It should be you.
Yo, she's the devil, man. She's the fucking devil.
She wants
her fucking brother to get killed. She wants her
right.
And,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
And Junior too is like fucking precipitating in this episode too. It's like these motherfuckers, like they just want Tony to die. They're like, oh, make both our lives easier. Like,
but also Junior. But also Junior says like, watch out for Janice.
Oh yeah, yes, I love that.
Yeah. That niece of mine. I think that's Janice at her most like outwardly manipulative.
Yeah.
You know, because she pulls shit like that with Bobby later on.
Yeah.
But it's never like to the point where she's playing on Richie's insecurities for, like, strictly to push her own agenda and provide a better life for her if Richie was to whack her brother and move up in the ranks and shit.
Right.
That's pretty low if you're doing that to your brother.
I'm old school, Janice.
I'm old school.
I'm old school, Janice. You can't talk to me while I'm fucking.
Now give me that fucking joint.
And then she quotes Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
Like, right. I feel like the same Art of War book is being passed around, the same like Guido's in this community here.
Yep.
It's missing pages.
I love Livia coming down the stairs on the electric chair.
Smells like marijuana.
Yeah, what are these? How old are they? Like, well, Richie's like 50s, right?
Yeah. He's like 20 years older than her or something.
So Janice is maybe like 40s.
Yeah.
Like, just like fucking in the living room while their mom's upstairs and like, you know. You might get caught.
Yeah.
And then you got a gun to your head. Wow, I mean, oh man, I'm hard just thinking about it.
Ooh. I smell gun smoke.
So yeah, Tony gets the word that he's that he could be going away for a very long time. And and you know, he has that session with Melfi where she's like, I've never seen you like this scared. And I'm trying to think, like, is there another time where we see, like, Tony really pressed, like, from a legal standpoint? And I guess in the beginning of 6A, when they get him on the gun charge that he dropped at Johnny Sack's house.
Yeah.
And they throw him in jail. Yeah, I guess that's the other time that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, up until that point, like, I forgot because that it was only this episode where it's really the threat is dealt to him and then sort of squashed by the episode's end. For some reason, I remembered that this was like a bigger thing that lasted across like a few episodes, but
yeah, that's true.
They sort of deal with it in one episode, but that just speaks to how good the ep is. You know, it feels like it's larger than it is.
True. It's the old, Entourage, structure. Like, oh right. No, Vinny's out of the movie. And then by the end of the episode, oh, Vinny's back in the movie.
He's back in the movie.
Hey, everything's actually perfect.
Hey, Tony's still in the mob. But yeah, he's like, I don't deserve this, you motherfuckers. Like, he's really fucking scared.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he does deserve it.
For sure.
And then more like, I love the stuff with him and Davey when they're in the store and he finds Davey in the tent.
Yeah, great scene.
And this is where he really like puts a, you know, explicitly said, he's like, that's my nature, you know, frog and scorpion, that kind of thing, which we've talked about a lot here.
Right.
But he seems genuinely, is it me or does he seem like genuinely envious of Davey? When he's like, when this is through, you could go wherever you want. You could do whatever you want. Like, you're free.
I guess.
Like, am I misreading that? Or does it sound like?
I don't know. And then
I don't know if he's envious.
That's maybe like reading too much into it. But yeah,
I think he's.
But you do think about the episode where Tony goes to Vegas, and trips. And yeah. Like, he's looking out over that canyon, and like, you think about like that's where Davey like ends up in that part of the country, and
right,
you know, there is a part of him that longed to be a citizen, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I think if anything, The Sopranos is, if you could sum it up, it's about adults who have sort of like made their bed and now they are forced to sleep in it for the rest of their lives, kind of thing. Right. You know. Whoa.
Oh,
whoa.
Come on.
Our first dog joins us on the cast.
That's my dog. Truffle, stop.
She said, this conversation is too cerebral.
Yeah, talk about
everyone's
getting fucked.
Everyone's
did you guys catch at Junior's house when he's like watching the daytime like soap operas? The woman on the soap opera is like, what about little Eric? Like little Eric Scatino?
Oh,
little reference?
Did not catch that.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, well, I did.
No one cares about Little Eric. That's what. It's true. That's a different house, right?
Yeah, I think the set that they end up using for Junior's house for the bulk of the series doesn't come around until season three, which is so weird to think about.
Yeah.
Because that's where all his scenes are from, like, season three on.
Yeah. They just have, like, a nicer, it's, like, right. Sleeker.
Yeah. Was that a Sega Dreamcast I saw? AJ playing?
Oh, that AJ was playing?
Yeah, like, AJ's, like, playing.
I don't know.
It was either that or N64. No, was it an
N64?
I don't think it was.
I think it.
Oh, really?
I thought he's played an N64 before.
Yeah, he has, but the controller played, looked different. And it wasn't a PlayStation.
I thought the controller was an N64, but I don't know.
I can be wrong. Dreamcast. I never gotten a Dreamcast.
Me neither. But I didn't recognize the controller, so I was like, that was probably that shitty Sega Dreamcast thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Hackoff did. Anyway.
Oh, of course.
I think I played with Locke, actually.
Oh, wow.
Dreamcast.
Oh, really?
In college, yeah.
Oh, nice.
We played Tekken, too.
Shit.
Oh, love Tekken.
Listeners are loving this.
Yeah.
Dude, they're like, all right. Who are these people?
But that same scene, Carmelo sort of like digs into Tony about missing AJ's swim meet and then actually like physically comes for him. And it almost seems like Gandolfini breaks for a second where he's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know? And
yeah.
Like throws her down.
Is that?
Yeah.
It is interesting that they made sure that Tony doesn't get violent with her, you know.
Yeah. They always sort of knew that was like a line they probably did not want to cross.
I mean, he doesn't get
violent with any woman,
right?
He sort of choke slams Gloria.
Yeah, Gloria, but also she threatens to,
right?
Like
destroy his life.
Destroy his life.
Yeah,
folks. But
I mean, he does grab women. Yes.
It stood out to me in this particular moment, because I think in the real world, if this guy was a real person, he probably would have fucking backhanded her, you know?
Unforgivable though. Like, I mean,
absolutely. It's a good conscious effort by David Chase to make sure that we don't see Tony Soprano doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't you say once that, is it Mitchell Burris and Robin Green?
Mm-hmm.
They wrote this episode with Renzulli.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
And so they just cleaned up Renzulli.
Right.
Didn't you say that they like Dave Chase wanted Carmella to cheat on Tony, but they were like, no.
Yeah, I think his whole deal was like Chase didn't understand, like he thought they were really pressing the stretches of believability that Carmella would stay with this guy, because they wrote her as like a very sort of like intelligent woman, and Tony's so fucking awful, and Chase is just like, I just don't buy that she is like faithful and like sticking by his side. And then ultimately, you know, season four was all about the sort of breakdown of their marriage and they got them to split. But
yeah.
But yeah, this was probably a little bit of Chase being like, okay, well, like, we've seen Tony and his his worst.
Mars.
And
yeah.
And this is like a little bone to Carm, sort of like Father Phil in season one, even though they didn't even kiss. But
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like like everyone stays happy kind of deal, like meeting halfway sort of.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that scene with them in the bathroom, like
it's a great
scene. They just like attack each other's faces and just start making out, Carmen Vic Musto.
Right.
And then, you know, she wants to make him lunch and all this stuff. She's like, "Oh, why don't you send Jose or whoever to the other job and you come over, I'll make I don't even know what dish she was making, some kind of chicken thing."
Yeah.
And she's like,
oh, nice. Sounded amazing.
Nice bottle of Barolo. Like,
yeah.
Okay, now you're having wine at lunch alone with your wallpaper guy. So think about that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Spells does that all the time.
Yeah. Sounds like typical day.
Me and my wallpaper guy get down.
You just make him lunch and wine.
Two hours later, okay, the job is done.
We learned that Meadow was accepted into. There's like a little scene with her and Livia, rang so true to me. Like, she runs in. She's like, "Oh, I got accepted NYU, Berkeley, waitlist Columbia," and then Livia just like hands her like a $20 bill and she leaves.
Yeah,
that's what my grandmother used to just like randomly hand us cash for anything.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
of course,
same.
Yep.
But yeah, what else? What else, guys? Ultimately, you know, the witness backs out. We get that great little scene. Like, the writers are so good, and I guess the I'm not sure who. I think, do you guys know who directed this episode?
Yeah, Patterson.
John Patterson.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, with so little time, they just completely set up who these fucking people are. The witness and his wife. Like, they're like, listening to some weird music, and he's like drinking wine and reading the book.
Stuffy NPR tote bag people.
Yep. And then when she learns that the guy was a Sopranos family associate, just meltdown. Just the whole like flag saluting good citizen thing, just like completely like, fuck this. He's like, where's the number? Yeah. It's on the fucking fridge. You had to be the big man.
It's very stylized. It's like Psycho or something. Like, it's like,
I think like the acting of the woman, like, she sounds like she's like Katherine Hepburn or like a 50s actress or something.
Right.
On the bridge. On the fucking. You had to be a big man. like, what the fuck?
I mean, so follow up to my earlier question. If you guys did report what you saw in the park that early morning, and then learned it was like mob associated, what would you do?
Leave town. lie low for a little while. I don't know. I don't think because like, what did he do to get out of it? Like, had he perjured himself, or he was just like, I don't feel comfortable testifying?
He didn't perjure himself because there was no trial.
Yeah, he didn't go like. Yeah, he didn't,
so he
like, take an
so he simply withdrew his offer to testify.
He recanted his statement.
Yeah, I think all he's got to say is like, hey, you know, I thought about it and I didn't. I don't think I saw any, or like, I'm not so certain that I saw anybody that night or something. You know, just some little like, you know, chip in his story, and he doesn't have to testify. So,
right.
So he's out.
I mean, I'm sure like. A real detective would grill him further.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But you can't just get off that easily. But I guess if you stick to your shit of like how like you make yourself a not credible witness, then it's probably not worth the cops' time to fucking keep pressing you.
I do you guys know? I mean, it'd be easier if we had a detective on the show with us right now, but. Would they have not told him who the suspect was? Like,
I mean, no, that's why he read it in the newspaper.
No, but
I mean, I'm saying, like, I don't know.
The suspect was?
Yeah, like,
but they didn't, right?
No, because he's like, he basically says like the detectives lied to him, and like,
he's just saying that,
right? Because in the beginning, they were like, just some. Some kid got mixed up with the wrong people. They didn't.
Yeah, he's like, and he's like crack, and they're like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. They were being purposefully, you know,
coy,
vague. Yeah.
And so he's just like, they lied to me. He's freaking out.
Yeah.
They would. I don't think they would tell him. Obviously, if it was someone like they thought might be high profile.
Right. I mean, I'd freak out too. But then I'd probably like a coward. I'd probably just be like, honey, let's go on a little vacation real quick.
Let's just move to Utah real quick.
Yeah, if like you saw John Gotti in Howard Beach, like coming out of a like a fucking convenience store while you were like going to a temp job or something at like 5 a.m.
Yeah. Honey, that's the Teflon Don. Got to get out of here.
I think.
Yeah. And then I love that little scene. So after Tony finds out that he's set, the witness backed out, like he just goes and sits in that bathroom and sort of just like cries like relief. And that's like the same bathroom that his wife like almost just cheated on him in, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
this is the same bathroom where spoiler, Ralph and Janice do coke, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I don't know where that is in the house.
It's kind of off the. I feel like it's off the dining room.
Yeah. Well, like half bath thing.
Yeah. What are you doing to me?
What are you doing to me?
I ain't doing it.
But yeah, I also like that's sort of like interesting. I realized on this watch that so Tony dodges a bullet because the witness backs out because he learns that Tony is in the mob. And then Vic also backed out of his like little scandalous secret lunch with Carmela because he learned or he's like because of Davey, he learned how terrible Tony Soprano can be. And so Tony sort of dodges two bullets because of his status within the community, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Then brings the beta king.
To bring in the money to Beansy is so realistic because I think of like whenever I get good news about something, what do? You're like, oh shit, I'm going to go to the bar and have it. Like, I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to go buy some shit.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's like, you're all jacked up and like, you're like, oh yeah, let's spend some money on something.
Right. And, and I mean, how many times make have myself... we seen Tony do that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Makes himself feel better about himself. Right. Like giving some money.
Yeah. Because all emotion is expressed through money and like purchase power, basically. But,
hey, I'm sorry I let this guy ruin your life by turning you into a paraplegic, but here's 50K. Yeah. I'm good.
He is you so good? Genuinely happy, like as he's walking away.
Yeah. Take the money, Beans. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Yo, real heavy on the, did you have something to say, Gullius?
No, go ahead.
Real heavy on the Journey song.
Yes.
Oh, a wheel in the sky.
Wheels in the sky, keep on. Also,
the worst Journey song.
I love the that image.
How dare you?
That image of him like he's like, oh, I'm doing this great thing, like bonding with my son in my gigantic fucking yacht. He creates that huge wake. Those people get like thrown over. Like it's just like so symbolic of like who he actually is.
Oh yeah.
It's like
oh sure, like, sure. But also that was like a little cartoonish.
Sure.
But I buy it. Like, I buy it. They don't give a fuck.
Oh
about
no! Yeah. Of course.
In their boat,
fucking kayakers. Yeah.
Whoa. Tony doesn't give a fuck about any citizen. Like
no wake zone.
No.
We're in the marina.
Stugatz fucking terrorizing people. And yeah, but
and it's so cold out too. It's like fall it's not summer.
By the end, Ramsey Outdoor being shuttered, sold. And I think is that the last we see of Davey? No. I think
I don't know.
Do we see him like packing up and leaving?
Yeah, maybe in the season finale.
Yeah.
He's like I'm going out west or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we do. We do see
overall
that.
Good ep. What else do you guys think? Spells, you have any lines you thought were great?
I do.
No, just the woman screaming, like it's on the bridge, on the bridge.
I watched because we were gonna record earlier this week, and I made my notes a few days ago. But who says sometimes we're all hypocrites?
Meadow.
That's a
good
him
scene.
And Tony, all wasted at night, sitting in the dark, and Meadow. She's so mean to him though. She's like rolling her eyes and shit. Yeah. He's like trying to be nice.
Go to sleep. Dad, go to sleep. I'm like, fuck you. I'm out having my little snifter, my fucking.
Got to get to the chat.
That's gonna be my child while I'm up drinking, watching The Sopranos when I'm fucking 60.
Hey, babe, Dad, babe, come here.
Dad, put the mezcal away.
I gotta finish my drink first. Is this a?
I liked their definition of. What Elvis country is for Furio.
Oh, I love that.
Anywhere there's no Italians, or Jews.
Or Jews, yeah.
But yeah, good app.
Sure. Did you, have we seen the lawyer before? Neil
Mink.
Probably.
Neil Mink?
Yeah,
because He said earlier in the season, he's like, a million thanks for Wibistics. I sold some of my Disney. Or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he's probably on the Wibistics list.
Every time I see him now, it's just like, it just reminds me, get me the Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Great actor.
Rose Kennedy reference. I don't know. Yep. That means nothing.
Flying Gabon Brothers.
Yeah, what is that?
I probably should have looked it up, but I was like, what
it just
fuck?
Sounds like a fucking thing, like
some
like,
old reference.
Like, and when he said it, I was like, oh yeah, these two look like a bunch of like Italian acrobats who do like a show together.
That's what you thought. Right.
It's like, yeah, these are the Flying Gabon Brothers.
Like the guys who like steal the jacket in Seinfeld, like that episode where they take the jacket.
Like those kind of guys. Have you ever seen a show like one of those shows in Vegas, like Cirque du Soleil or anything like that?
No.
There was like I saw one like that, and there was like a pair of brothers who were like fucking insane that did their own little like fucking bit.
I mean, those
that was acrobatic.
People are crazy.
Yeah,
I just searched it. The Flying Karamazov Brothers were a juggling and comedy troupe.
Yes. Those are like legends. But yeah,
you're familiar with their work.
I mean, I know
you're a big Karamazov Brothers fan.
They're legends. Come on now. The Virginia Ham like fucking thing again.
All back.
Like
yeah.
I love Tony just like repeating shit like he came up with it himself. You know, like,
or she's like, what the fuck? Fucking what, talking to you here.
What about a fucking ham?
Junior, this guy's trying to give me a ham metaphor. He needs to go.
Tony saying to the other detective that comes to his house, goes, oh, you're a comedian? Is that how you broke your nose? What? What is that? Oh, you're a comedian? Is that how you broke your nose? Like, I mean,
the guy had a big nose, I guess.
And it, like,
what
kind
was
of
the
smush?
Character's name? Was he? He wasn't Italian, was he?
I think he was.
Maybe.
I think he is Italian.
Oh, he was? The detective was Italian?
Pretty sure.
I thought it was a commentary on being Italian or something, and you're a cop.
Like a crooked nose or like crooked cop kind of thing? No. I don't know. Is it
like something like that? Or like...
I mean, I don't know.
Like the similar thing that he says to the FBI agent where he's like... Where, you know, he finds out that FBI agent's like last name and he's like, how could you? Basically.
Right.
I can't decipher.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Sounds like a line Renzulli fought for and was able to keep in.
I mean, the line where he's like, oh, could you guys.
Robin Green and Mitchell Burris were like, can we go home? We've been here for fucking 12 hours.
Better line is when he's like, oh, can you bring the bins down to the curb? I think it's pickup tomorrow.
Yeah.
A dick.
But yeah, shall we move on?
Sure.
We shall. Hey listeners, ready for the sick ass bet online read?
Nobody's listening anymore, man.
Hey, do not skip 30 right now. There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back. Well, not according to today, fucking Phillies.
Who knows?
Might be
very
really
slowly.
Yeah, really slowly. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches, and nothing else. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, maybe MLB soon, because never seeing that sport ever again. And UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something else than sports? Probably. BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Ooh, Spells' eyes lighten up. Visit BetOnline. Visit BetOnline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE, one word, BLUEWIRE, for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts, the Wibistics of betting.
It's their official slogan.
Yeah.
The Wibistics.
Better than Wibistics.
Cool. Yeah. Bet online. Sweet.
Great.
Sweet. Shall we, listeners, we have a treat for you. Due to the sexual nature contained in this episode, Johnny the Nut has written a special scene of Sopranos erotic fan fiction.
He's already breathing.
Yeah,
Johnny the Nut Sec Pino.
Oh man, I'm sweating. I got off my fuck chair.
Shit. That's a
podcast.
That's a Peloton.
Yeah, I know, but I turned it into a real good fuck
that's
machine.
A beanbag.
they're always like, "Oh, Johnny the Nut, you got to pick up speed," and I'm like, "No, I don't."
Nice.
I'm Johnny, so hard from this girl.
The file that you sent Feudy and I, just entitled Richie Janice Gun Sex.pdf. Classic.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, I keep it simple.
Right, yeah. You want to sign roles here?
Yeah, Professor Paul, you play Janice. Okay. Feudy, you play Richie.
Great.
And you know what? I'll do the rest. Okay.
You never know who's gonna dip in at the last moment. Sack Pino scenes.
I like to make it a surprise for you, stupid fucking listeners.
Okay. This is
all right.
Okay.
All right. Let me get my Manson lamps up. All right. I'm ready.
Gun to Your Head by Johnny the Nut Sack Pino.
I gave my mom some Nebutals. She's out like a lot.
So what?
So that means we gonna bang.
All right. Let me get my gun.
Richie goes to get his gun.
Yeah, put that shit to my head while you give me doggy.
Stop giving me instructions. I like it when I tell myself what to do.
I'm making
when I tell myself what to do. Not yet, Janice. Oh, Maron. Gotta get hard first.
Richie's stroking his vein. No, he's not.
Shit. Okay.
He's not.
Richie's stroking his veiny big sausage when bang, the gun goes off.
Oh, no. My brajol.
What happened, Richie?
I shot my cock.
Livia motors down the stairs. What's going on down here?
Ma, Richie shot his cock off.
Let me see. Oh, it looks fine to me. Looks like a scratch.
Actually, you're right, Mrs. S. My cock dodged a bullet.
I know just the cure.
Oh,
Livia hops out of her wheelchair
and
starts sucking Richie's cock.
No.
What? What? Old people can have sex too, Professor Paul, you know?
Oh, Maron, this good dome.
Ah.
Oh, come on, Janice. Rub my back, and by that, I mean take that gun and shove it inside me.
Okay. I hate being a soprano.
Janice reluctantly penetrates Livia with the gun. Then she all of a sudden likes it. Johnny the Nutsack Pino is outside in the weeds watching. He cuts when everyone else cuts. You know what that means.
Yep.
Nutsack Pino. This might have been some sick shit, but let me remind you, gun violence is a serious thing. If you have guns in the house, make sure they are locked and in a secure place. Otherwise, you could shoot your cock off. Until next time, keep getting on and getting off. Sincerely, the Nut.
Oh, wow. I like the twist at the end. It was,
I didn't see the twist at the end where Sacpino enters the scene just like the last three of these we've done. But this time, not to fuck.
Oh, it was. I know it was a little much, but you know, this is gunplay in the show, and old people can have sex too, even with their children, which I don't agree with. I don't agree with that.
All right.
But you know, there was a message at the end about gun violence, so I made it up that way.
Was
you
made there up a
for
message?
It. You made up for it. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. There
this
was.
This is acceptable now. We should air it.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's air it.
All right. Apologies to our listeners and to Bet Online and Blue Wire.
Oh, Joe's back. Oh, Joe's back.
Joe's here. Joe's here.
Oh, yeah. Up, whoa. Joe? Jeez. What did I miss?
Oh, man. Some incest, some guns.
Oh, yeah. Glad.
Glad you missed
it. I'm glad I'm not a part of that. I can't believe that you guys are a part of that. Jesus. I can't believe that you, Paul Golias, and Dave Futernick have your name on this.
Shit.
Okay, moving on.
All right.
Fucking internet.
Fucking internet. So, fucking Sacbino.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying. He's Look, just trying,
he's doing
really.
His best. We get it. I don't always agree with him,
he's
but...
just... You got to let him go. He's a wild person. I mean, yeah. You know.
He also, I heard he hasn't been out of the house since the quarantine. He's gotten all of his groceries from Amazon.
He's taking it seriously. Yeah. He really is. He's really taking it seriously. You got to commend him for that.
But he's obviously gone a little stir crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And forgot that certain things are disgusting.
The Peloton is not cutting it from what I hear. It's just, he likes it, but it's not enough.
That's right.
All right, fucking internet. This is the segment of the show where we comb the internet for questions, comments about The Sopranos. Here we go. This one is from user on Reddit, 2001 with dinosaurs. Bust out. Curious about chain of command at this point in the series. I'm currently making my way through the series for the first time and recently reached this episode. I was wondering, had Tony gone to jail after all, who would have assumed the boss role? In an earlier season 2 ep, Tony says that Silvio and Pauly are at the top of the pecking order after him. So would it be one of them or another capo? The capos haven't shown up much in season 2, by the way, which I found a bit odd. We got an answer for this guy?
I mean, it'd be so.
Hey, so. Right?
He kind of already does, like, I later.
Mean, yeah, like, when... spoiler alert. True. We shouldn't have to say that. I mean, this,
I know.
It's all spoilers.
Just saying,
This pod is all spoilers. Yeah, I mean, like when June shoots him, I mean he would still assumes
right.
the duties.
He does. But that's sort of, I feel like Tony is a little more stable in his position as boss later in the series. Whereas right now, I feel like there could be some like bickering over like who should sort of
who
take
could
that.
Jockey well, for position.
Right. Well. I mean, it would have been fascinating if Tony had gone away for a bit. There would have been a huge power struggle because Rich, right. You know, Rich would have made a move. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah, it would have been. Yeah, Richie would have definitely made the move. Not Paulie or Richie definitely would have made.
He's already a dickhead to Syl and Paulie, like with Tony like currently sitting on the throne. So it's like,
and they probably would have given it to.
Well, it also isn't Junior still like technically. Boss, like in name only, but
in name only,
yeah,
in name only.
But that he would definitely like step up then, even before Richie. I feel like he would, although he doesn't really have anybody to.
But it's a good point because I think Junior would probably say Richie's the boss now.
Yeah. I think he would, and then everybody would have to sort of respect that,
right? Which Paulie would have loved. Well, I definitely would have respected it.
Oh yeah, for
sure.
That's a great
way it could have gone.
Yeah.
And then like Tony gets out a couple episodes later.
Right. Huge.
That would have been interesting.
Like power vacuum, and then he's you know, re-entering the fight. That would have been interesting. Right, it spells. Yeah. Or Johnny the Nut.
Oh, Johnny's gonna write it. Yeah, he's gonna write. Yeah, he generally sticks to 2-page scripts, so I don't know if he can churn out a 50-page script.
Tony goes to jail. Comes.
Written by Renzulli. The end.
Yeah. This one from user 1MM. In season 2, episode 10, Bust Out, Meadow gets an acceptance letter from her college of choice, Berkeley. Why does she choose to go to Columbia? I thought it had to do with the conversation she has with Tony earlier in this same episode, where he's drunk in the dark and says he loves her and that your mother doesn't think I love you enough. But I don't know if this completely explains it. Is it ever explained? I don't remember.
It's not. I don't think so. But if you're waitlisted somewhere, you have to say, and you want to go there possibly, you have to say, I will go to. So like she's waitlisted at Columbia.
Right.
So she would have to say like, I'm going to Columbia if you let me in.
Right. Yeah. They you know? Lock you into that. Yeah. Yeah, that might have been it. I think also she probably just, you know, at some point off screen, she had a change of heart and decided she wanted to be closer to the family and her parents, her brothers, her friends.
In season 3, it's obvious why she stayed close by, because she comes home constantly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those type of people, they're never gonna leave.
Yeah, I mean, Joe went to a school like that where like my buddy Danny went to SUNY Purchase, and like everybody left on the weekend. Everybody went home. Like,
it made no sense, but you know, like they're a bunch of like, you know, they're babied Italians and Jews by their parents.
It's true. It's true.
And that's a lot of people who went to Long Island. But also, if you live
close enough,
that and also like they all lived like on the island.
Yeah.
Like, half the people who lived there went home on the weekends.
Right. I believe
it. Which was great for me because it was not crowded.
Right.
But like, why would you pay for a fucking dorm and then you'd go home every weekend?
I know.
Yeah. Makes no sense. This one from.
That's when you would drink. Don't you want to do it not with your parents around?
User Steelers Pirates. How did Richie ever think he was going to make any money on the water coolers from the Scatino test out?
Thank you.
If he was going to sell them for a couple of $3 a piece, he would have had to sell thousands to make any money. He would have made more money mopping the floors at the Bing. I mean, the feelers for his size. Good point.
absolutely. And I don't know why that like hadn't hit me until this viewing, but I was like, wait a minute. What the fuck?
It's just another reason why they like, you know, Richie gets shit on because he's like, your ideas are not good. Like,
right.
Your schemes are not good, my guy.
Get rid of these fucking coolers.
Stick to taking jackets off people.
Yeah.
This one from user Sal Bonpensiero. Why were Pussy, Furio, and Paulie involved in the Scatino bust out? The debts were between Tony and Richie and Davey. How did Puss, Furio, and Paulie manage to get a cut of the bust out? I just think at this point it was like, you know, such a big opportunity money wise. They brought in some of the other higher ups to sort of, you know, feast, right? And what do you guys
think? Yeah, definitely. And also,
that's what I would think.
And also, it was probably like business wise better that Tony wasn't there all the time.
Right.
So like, he probably like the day to day shit that we don't see. Like, I'm sure like Paulie would have to go there to, you know, for exchange of products, exchange of money, like shit like that.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Tony was only there when the sandwiches arrived.
<I know. laughs> Yeah, put it on the store's tab.
The sandwiches look good.
Oh yeah.
They got like sandwiches and like a lot of pizza too.
Yeah, and
right?
Like 10 pizzas. There's like fucking four people there.
So moving on from the episode to sort of like the larger series questions, we have this one from user Small Changes in World. Johnny Sachs pleads guilty. I don't get it. Why is Tony and his crew get so upset about him pleading guilty? I mean, it's not like he flipped or anything. You never admit that this thing of ours exists, right? I think they even say something like that in the show.
Yeah.
Well, I forget the name of the guy that testified before Congress in the 50s, but that was like the whole thing is like he admitted, it was the first time he admitted it. The first time anyone publicly admitted that its existence.
That the mafia
and it's like,
is real, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the beginning of the turncoat shit. It's the beginning of the like rat race.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I think when that episode took place, that was like 2005 or something, right? 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, it was well documented that the mafia was real. Nobody's fooling anybody. But I think it
it's
is interesting
a,
that
a tradition thing.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Phil did 20 goddamn years, you know? Like Johnny Sack can't just like suck it up. Anyway.
Yeah, just have a couple of grilled cheeses off the radiator.
Yeah. This one from user L Dance. Michael Imperioli said it's a popular theory that Tony was actually killed by the two black guys in Isabella, and everything we see in the show after is him in purgatory / limbo. Kind of an interesting theory, I suppose, but I had never heard that theory before. Is this common knowledge among Sopranos fans? And I'm just sharp as a cue ball? Or is it not a very popular fan theory conspiracy? Have you guys heard this one before?
I have.
I have.
I've never heard this one. I'm the one on the fucking boards.
Yeah.
I've heard it, but I don't know what the logic behind it is.
I mean, what evidence beyond that episode do you have? Like, why would you?
Right.
And then if the rest of the
completely
series
diminishes, yeah, completely diminishes the rest of the show. Like,
yeah. And if the rest of the series is just sort of like a test dream, or
is it because like there's two like got like black guys who show up in the end, like the final end scene?
There are. Yeah. I don't know. But then, so if this is all a dream, where does Tony go when he's in the coma after he's been shot?
Exactly.
The like, dream within a dream.
Inception now.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan actually
is Sopranos.
Yeah. This is the kind of theory. Like, I love a good, like, theory, like not popular theory or something. Last week I forgot to say the 3 o'clock thing. Do you guys ever hear this one? So the final scene of Sopranos. If you were to warn Tony, like, where the threat was coming from, how would you tell him to look?
At 3 o'clock. The guy sits down at the counter at
O'clock. The guy would have been coming from the bathroom, which was, like, his direct 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me, because that's, you know, probably not what David Chase realistically had in mind, but still, that's sort of like a cool little detail that lines up. This makes no sense. Why would David Chase be like, okay, well, he's dead in the season finale, and the rest of the series is just fucking afterlife or whatever the fuck? Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
So essentially, fuck you, user L Dance. Just kidding. So then I took to just Twitter for, you know, Twitter is becoming less and less a reliable place to find some comments for fucking internet. I don't know why, but
it's not a reliable place in general.
But I did a search for bust out and Soprano, like tweets containing those words. And of course, mm-hmm. and I got this one from @OShaunOfNoise. I might get wild later and bust out my soprano sax and jam along with Songbird by Kenny G. I'm like, fuck.
What?
Oh,
but then also like so.
But we should dissect that. Let's dissect that.
Yeah. For Ocean of Noise, don't do that.
Yeah.
So did you find anything?
So I also want to say, and I discussed this with you guys already. So many, the bulk of the tweets, and I'm talking like dozens that I saw, and I know there's probably like hundreds more that I didn't go through. So many comparisons to, Trump is busting out America. Trump is Tony, and we're Davey, and the White House is Ramsey Outdoor, and all this shit. You know, a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Joe's dog agrees.
Joe's dog agrees.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Trump is like that. He is. I mean, I don't know if he's like Tony. Like, I think. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like he does things that he knows he's taking advantage of people also, and he's going to get money out of it.
Right.
But he also tries to do business things that just fail.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Is that like part of like getting money from people and then ultimately the business fails? Maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
I will say
I think he's just terrible at business.
Yeah. My wife and I watched the Roy Cohn documentary last night on HBO. And, Trump had like all those connects to organized crime. Like there was there was that whole strike of the construction workers, and he was the one real estate person in New York who was still getting his cement during the strike.
Because I wonder how that worked out.
Yeah. Because Roy Cohn hooked him up with the right people. So, I mean, Trump's just a mobster. He's just fucking really terrible at it.
Yeah.
And then I stumbled upon this tweet from user Where's the Gabagool?
Hell yeah.
The Sopranos season 2 episode 10 bust out. Gabagool count 0. And this is an account. I did some further research on this. And this is an account that was created this month. June 2020. That's just how many times does Gabagool get mentioned in every episode of The Sopranos?
This is a Twitter account solely dedicated to this.
Right. Okay. I think they're in season 3.
Okay, so they go episode by episode. So each tweet is an episode, and how many times it's said. That's how it's broken down?
Yeah. So
you're only going to have 84 tweets.
So they're up to season 3, episode 7, second opinion, Gabagool count 0. Episode 6, university, also 0. Episode 5, another toothpick, Gabagool count 1, said by Tony Soprano. Episode written by Terrence Winter. That's the tweet. That's it.
So what happened here, some 65-year-old guy is quarantined and he's like you know what, my kids are on this Twitter, I'm gonna do I got a good idea, I've had this idea for a while about this Twitter and create this
something
account.
Tells me he's not 65.
You don't think
something
so?
Tells me he is. Someone tells me it's one of us.
I mean, I respect it. I respect it.
I think we gotta message this guy and try to have him on.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like he'll just appear real quick and be like, "What's the gobble-goo count for this episode?" He'll be like, "None," and we're like, "We'll see you later."
We'll have him call in live. We'll figure out all the logistics of that just for him to dip in and be like, "Nope, no gobble-goo this episode." Why?
We'll send in the Zoom link, and then you promptly kick him out because he's probably insane.
Make sure to have the segment at the end of the near the end of the episode and make him just be on mute and wait and not say anything the whole up.
This guy's gonna like pull out his dick on camera for sure.
I'm looking at this season 2 stats, total gabagool count 1, further analytics unavailable due to small data set. What the fuck size data set do you want?
This guy's he's like an engineer, scientist about the gabagool count.
Season 3, episode 3, Fortunate Son. Gabagool count. 5. 4 mentions, 1 sighting. He's doing sightings now.
You can't ruin it. Like we have to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Leave the audience wanting more.
Right. That's right.
Well, we'll check in with our friend Wiz the
Gabagool. Incredible. Gabagool.
I think we should check in with him frequently, or at least we'll just pump his Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the Twitter account again?
What's it called? W Gabagool.
How do you spell Gabagool?
W G A B A G O O L. Gabagool.
So it's spelled out phonetically.
Yeah.
We'll hit this guy up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got 14 followers, so we'll definitely
we'll be in touch.
He joined. He started it this month.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, Goliath said that.
Oh man, we got to get this guy on.
This guy. All right, that's all I got for fucking internet.
Hey,
that's a good. That's a good find. Good find.
Yeah.
Good up.
Good up, guys.
Good up.
Yeah,
we're rounding out season 2 here.
Yep. Guys, as always, hit us up on the socials, on Instagram and Twitter. We are at @osopranospod. You can also email us if you want to keep it private. Oh yeah. Hit up. We'll pass it on to Johnny the Nutsack Pino if you want to send something kind of sexy for him to consider.
I just don't give him your email, please.
Now, if you want to hit us up email wise, we are at osopranospod@gmail.com. Let us know thoughts, concerns, things you're enjoying. And also, you know, I assume if you're listening, you are a subscriber already, but if you're not, give us that subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. It could just be one word, gabagool count. You know, give us the gabagool count for that.
We'll
episode.
Take a 4-star review.
We'll take a no. 5 stars.
What if there's like everybody's holding off reviewing because they can't, in confidence, give us the 5?
Yeah, well, you're lying to yourself because this is a 5-star podcast.
True.
So
yeah, come on. Come on. Shoot for the stars.
Yeah. Have some fucking balls.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't back out of the testimony.
Give us the 5. Tell us why you and how to improve, and we'll be better for you.
Also, like, if you hate the podcast, like, fucking drag the shit out of us, but still give us 5 stars. But then feel free to say with all the shit you hate about us.
Please.
Now that shit fucking, you know, it helps. And, you know, there are other Sopranos podcasts, but they.
Are there?
I think most of them stopped because they were just going episode by episode. But of the non-Sopranos cast hosted Sopranos podcast.
Right, right.
But yeah, hit us up and another shout up to Jimmy Gandolfini.
Hey, R.I.P.
Wish we could have seen him in a bunch more shit into his older.
Alright.
Alright.
Good night. We're going to bed.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.